When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. My name is Joel Pavone, and I got Sean Ducha and Josue Pavone. Three-man crew is back. We're going to talk about Celtics, obviously. They're doing their thing this month. Five-game winning streak. But first, before we get into some Celtics talk, we're actually going to do our top 25, our yearly list between the three of us.
You've been waiting for it.
I feel like it's been a while. We do this yearly. I feel like we didn't do it last season because of, like, everything's been going on in the world, like a pandemic, for instance. But
Celtics sucked last year.
Yeah, that. But I feel like last season, the season before, was just like all combined. But anyways, we're gonna get into that, and we're gonna take our trip around the NBA like we always do. With in case you missed it, and I believe we're also gonna look ahead with Sean Dutra.
Joel, you would say that first. You would say in case you missed it first. That's the slam dunk contest of the night, and then I guess we'll look ahead.
Well, if we go chronological, I'm more important. Okay,
so I'm just teasing topics. So, like, whatever happens. So we usually just kind of just do what we do here.
By the way, shout out to Sway, reporting live from the gem.
LaGuardia. From LaGuardia.
Of all gems, airports. Like, if you have to pick an airport to be doing a podcast at, would you not pick LaGuardia? Because I think you would. I think you would pick LaGuardia.
All day, bro. All day tomorrow.
and I don't know how do we move on from there, but
shout out to Newark, New Jersey, I guess,
Yeah.
Shout out to Newark.
Yeah, he's gonna go get a 1-on-1 with Kyrie, to talk about how things are gonna be lifted there, mandate wise. But anyways.
Maskless and all.
You hopping in this top 25?
Let's hop in the top 25 real quick. We'll start with you, Sean. You seem the most amped here out of the three of us.
I'm very amped because it's been a while since we've been doing these top 25, and this is the first year where I feel like my artistic freedom is like open. Like, it's okay. You don't have to choose the old school top five anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's not an old school top five that exists in the NBA. So I'm very excited about the list. How we want to break this out? We're going to go through top fives. We'll pass it around, pass the baton around five by five as we normally do. So 25 through 21.
Shoot.
All right. Number 25 on my list, I got Chris Middleton. I think he sort of always snakes in the top 25 for me, but he won the championship last year, so you can't not put him in for me, from my perspective. An all-star, perennial all-star. Sort of taking that Chris Bosh role, I feel like, of always making the all-star team, but no one ever thinks he's a legitimate, superstar.
Okay, hold on real quick, though. I hear you on that, but the thing about Middleton, though, that everyone has to give him props for, is just how consistent he is. Like, literally, like, his numbers across the board are the exact same from last year. And obviously, he was a big part of that championship team, the Milwaukee Bucks. And I don't know, but I'm with you. It's just hard for him to crack the top 20 when, like, there's just so many other players.
No, I hear you, Sway. Like, 100%. Consistent. Yeah. Consistently.
Like, I wanted to give him a bump, but have him somewhere similar to where you have him. I just couldn't. It was tough.
No, he's consistently an all-star, so he always makes the all-star team, which is good, and I think he should. And that's what I relate him to Chris Bosh as, because if we were doing this when Chris Bosh was there, he was always in our 20 to 25 range. He was never going to – but he was a consistent all-star. I think, like, you know, that's just where he's going to live, and it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Number 24, I probably got my most controversial pick out of these five, but I have DeAndre Ayton as number 24. I have Ayton and as number 24. I think he's the fourth best center in the league, and that's saying something in the league full of solid centers. And hey, the Suns made it to the finals last year. They've won 58 games this year. Has he missed some time? Yeah, but I think that when he is the key to that team and how far they go. So I have Ayton in 24, and I'm sure you guys don't even have him in the top 25. I don't know. Do you?
Yeah. Hey, wow.
Yeah, man. I like him.
You're a weird dude, Sean.
Hey, I'm telling you, my artistic freedom has been unleashed this list, man.
I could just hear Tunis. Now, damn right he is. Damn right.
Number 23, I got Zach LaVine on the Chicago Bulls. And number 23.
As opposed to the LA Clippers, Zach LaVine?
No, as opposed to Zach LaVine.
Ah, LaVine. Gotcha, yo.
Don't want to get confused.
Gotcha.
Not to be confusing.
I thought you were going to say Zach LaVine. My bad.
Well, yeah, LaVine's an also way you can confuse him with a LaVine. But no, this is Zach LaVine. he made number 23. Number 22, I really wanted to put this guy higher. I really did. Because he made the All-Star team for the first time this year. And he's the best player by far on his team. And I think he's has potential to go to a team and be a number two on the championship team. That's DeJounte Murray. I wanted to put him higher, but I just couldn't.
All right. I think that's a pretty good way to start off.
Number 20. Wait, hold on. Let me get to 21.
All right. My fault.
I'm going to 21. I'd be surprised to hear how you guys think, but I got Pascal Siakam at number 21, and he's my only Toronto Raptor on the list.
Wow. I mean, the fact that you thought he was on drugs not too long ago.
Drugs and all, baby.
He's done a complete turnaround for you.
You know. That
is amazing.
I don't.
I thought once you got somebody pegged as a druggie, that's how they're going to stay.
Oh, no. Sean believes in second chance.
Yeah.
He's always been about that.
Recovery. Trust me.
Fourth chances.
Oh, yeah. That's right. How could I forget? He thought Markel Fultz was on drugs at one point, and he's like, he's still gonna make that turnaround at some point in his career.
That's next season. He'll make a list next year, right?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think Markel Fultz has a drug problem. I think he's got an alcohol problem.
Gotcha.
From one substance to another. I get it.
Yeah. Jermaine trips around the world and Disney, huh?
Seriously.
That's my first five. How you like my first five? Anything? How's it feel?
Other than the Ayton,
unpredictable.
Yeah. but that's Sean these days, huh? Let's go with you, Sway. Let's break down your first five.
All right, let's do it. How are we doing, guys? I had to go check on my flight real quick.
No, he had to pick up a tater tot mouth.
No thoughts this time, Sean. No thoughts.
No thoughts at the airport?
No, we're not doing that tonight. We're not doing that.
LaGuardia's not the spot for the tots, apparently.
No. Very, very overrated tots here at LaGuardia, man. No, I'm just kidding. Tots are tots. I'm doing the tots tonight.
LaGuardia is out of the best podcasting airports of all time. Out.
You guys ready? Number 25, Sean.
Yeah.
One's for you, bro. Got Jaylen Brown. 25. All right.
Wow.
Now listen, hear me out. We talk about Chris Middleton, how consistent he is. That used to be Jaylen Brown. That hasn't been him this year. And look, that's not a huge knock, all right? It's not like he's off the list altogether. He was pretty damn close, at least in my opinion. But a couple 30 point games this month, I thought, you know, helped his chances a bit on my list. Obviously, what the Celtics are doing, he's a big part of that. So that helped him as well. But yeah, I just want to see that consistency, his shooting. You know, he was always that guy. He was always hovering closer to 50% than 40 from the floor. He was always a better 3-point shooter than he is this year. You know, these 30 splits, like dipping down to 30. You know, some nights where he just sort of disappeared on the Celtics, and then the Celtics. This is before the whole turnaround. But even during the turnaround, you know, Tatum is obviously taking a huge leap, and I still think Jalen's on his way of doing that. I love the fact that he's attacking the rim more often. He's starting to find more of his flow in offense. He doesn't just shy away like he used to before. Like, I remember before when he was ice cold, he would just stay in his lane or stay in that corner, you know, waiting for the 3-point shot. If it wasn't there, you know, he'd give you like a 12-point quarter and then he would disappear, you know. So I'm trying to, I want to go back to being more consistent. It looks like he's on the pace of doing that. But with all that being said, man, I got him at 25.
That's low. To be honest, that's low.
It is. But it's a lot of good players this year, man. A lot of people who've made leaps, including this guy. You just talked about him, Zach LaVine.
Okay.
You think Jalen's having a better season than Zach LaVine?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I do.
Nah, I don't think so, man. I mean, granted, Chicago's dropped a bit. They're not the same Chicago team they were. But the way they came out of the gate, the way they've been relevant all year long, the way they've been playing better defense, in my opinion, I didn't expect them to defend this well. And that's a big reason why I thought they'd be fighting for playoff position right now. But that's been the case.
I think the biggest thing about Zach LaVine that shows his worth to that team is, like, when he did start, like, missing games, they were winning. But when he missed it for a period of time, they were dropping games left and right, and they just haven't been the same.
Yeah.
He's the key to that team.
Yeah, he is. That's true. We'll get it. You got a teammate that's higher on my list, but we'll get to him later. He's way later. Zach LaVine, number 24. Number 23, I got Rudy Gobert.
I don't know.
What's up? Gobert didn't make your list?
No, he can't make any list. Top 25.
Just because he was, what do you call him, patient zero, whatever it was?
Patient zero of the NBA. No, he shut down the NBA, so I do not allow him.
Sean doesn't forget. All right, gotcha. Nothing to do with basketball. All right, I was going to say, yo, what you got?
Number 22.
Tucci doesn't forget. Number 22, I got Chris Middleton. We talked about him a few minutes ago. The fact that, like, his shooting percentages are identical to last year, I just think there's a lot to be said about that. You know, you look at across the Eastern Conference, so many teams got better, and he's just been solid. He hasn't dropped the ball, you know. So, I said plenty about him earlier. And then number 21, I got Gobert's teammate, Donovan Mitchell.
Sad.
Did he play enough games? You guys got him on there? All right, cool. We can get into it later, but we had a huge discussion about who should make the list, how many games they played. I didn't know if he was on the bubble, but I put him on mine.
No, man, I hear you. I was extremely disappointed, like, especially after seeing him, drop 38 in a loss last night against the Celtics. Like, I'm extremely disappointed of where I put him on the list this year, because he should be fighting to be way higher than where I have him, where you have him.
Yeah, he should be, but yeah, that's true. It's just so many. It's a guard-driven league, you know? We always talk about point guards, but just guards in general. There's so many good guards. Like, that's why I drafted like 9 of them in my fantasy league, and I was fucked because I had to make trades and stuff. Like, it's just so many good guys, you know?
Yep, I hear you. Joel, what you got, man? 25, what you got?
Yeah, top 20 gets crazy. I can't wait.
All right, at number 25, I got Chris Middleton.
Hey, me too, man.
All right, number 24, I got, I know it's how Sean feels about this guy, but I got Rudy. I got Rudy Gobert at number 24. All right, I'm sorry, man. He's the reigning defending defensive player of the year.
He is also the reigning reason.
For now, Joel. Just for now.
Just for now. I know. Just for now. Because that's going to change real soon. You know, it's going to be a guard that's going to win it.
He's coming for you. He's coming for you, Mark. Mark's right. Coming for you, Rudy. He's coming. Hold on real quick. I love how, like, so many Celtics players are just trying to dunk on him. They try to, like, score on him. Tatum, like, forced through a triple team just to get to him so he can put him on a poster. Like, I love that. I love that. Like, yo, you ain't no defensive player of the year. Get out of here.
This is going on your tape.
Exactly. Put it on the tape and go watch Marcus' tape, what he's been doing this year. I love it.
And then Donovan put up 38 and Ime was like, hey, Marcus, just hit this fourth quarter out.
Yeah, right.
right.
everyone was like, defensive player of the year, my ass.
Yeah.
All right, so at number 20, where did I leave off at? Sorry, 24. So 23, I got Shea Shea, SGA, Shea Gillis Alexander.
I want that.
23.
I felt bad leaving him off of mine. Yeah, I like him.
No, I like him. He's definitely the problem with Shea and why I don't have him on my list is he's incorporated tanking into his mindset now, and I can see it in his game now. It's not good.
I don't know about that. I mean, if they're holding him out or they're not, you know, he's still putting up some crazy numbers for being on a shitty team.
I know, but
and plus it's like, you know, I didn't say he was number 15.
Since I've gotten league pass, I've watched a lot of OKC games. I like watching Shane and my boy Giddy on that team.
I mean, so, Shea. I mean, Shea and the Thunder almost pulled off the comeback against the Celtics the other night.
I know, and that was rare because normally you watch those games, you're like, why isn't Shea playing, you know, 40 minutes a night on this shitty team, and he plays like 25 minutes a night.
Well, when you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs at like, you know, before the All-Star break, the team is going to tell you to like, you know, like chill out a little bit. All right. So given his circumstances, I'm going to put him at number 23. All right.
Circumstances.
Yeah. Number 22, I got Jontae Murray, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I think Sway actually.
Speaking of taking.
Well, I mean, yo, I think the Spurs have a shot of like, you know, knocking the Lakers out of that playing, you know, spot right now.
All right, Josh Richardson, you know what he's saying.
You know, I mean, you know.
What are you saying, John?
Where did you have Murray? Did you say Murray yet?
I didn't say Murray. I don't have him at all.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like the team hasn't been competitive, and he's one of those guys like SGA, you know, got left out the party.
All right.
If they were on winning teams, your boy Jalen would have been out of the mix altogether. Let's just say that.
more slander on Jalen. I expect that from Sean, man. Not from you this way. Number 21, I got Zach LaVine. Not LaVine. I got LaVine.
What about LaVine?
LaVine didn't make the list, unfortunately.
Okay.
Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine. And then at number 20, I got...
My fault.
Bro, take it easy.
My bad. So then we pick it up with you, John.
You do this every year.
Hey, let's go. Well, bring us to the next part of your list, bro. Go 20 to 15, 20 to 16.
Oh, you want to go to Pavone battle right now, bro?
Is that what we're doing? We're doing that right now?
You wanna?
No.
I like the
puff pass session that we had going on right now.
Puff pass. All right, don't fuck.
Yeah, Joe, I don't like change, bro. Go ahead. keep it the same.
Don't fuck the rotation.
Don't fuck up the rotation, bro. You're going to get kicked out.
All right. So number 20, this is probably my most controversial. Actually, not even close. We're just getting into the controversial type of part of my list. But number 20, I got Anthony
Davis. Top 10's always a freaking shouting match.
I got Anthony Davis at number 20.
Why? You're insane.
Why?
The Lakers are whack?
Lakers are whack. Can't stay on the floor. I don't know. I just... Okay, his impact on the season this year has been little to none. He can't stay healthy. And why am I going to manipulate a list to put a guy in that should be a top 10 player in the NBA, but is not performing as a top 10 player in the NBA? He's not on my – he's in top 20. He's number 20. That's where I have him.
All right. I mean, it does go to my point of the winning record is really hurting you. Especially when you've been a top 10 player for years now.
I've always given top 10 props. I even gave him top 5 props for years and years and years. But like when you get paid your big
money. Back when Sean was hoping you'd be a Celtic.
Yeah. When you get paid your big money and you don't perform and you haven't performed now for 2 straight years, I'm sorry, man. That's where you fall.
All right. Keep it going.
All right. Is where you will find my friend Jalen Brown. Jalen Brown is at number 19. Now, why is he at number 19 for me? Two things. I think that could he have been higher? Yes. Could he have been lower? Yes. I think where I placed him means that he is a top 20 player in the NBA. I think that if the Celtics had a better record, he would have been an easy all-star. And there's a credit pie for the Celtics, like, winning, it's because Jaylen Brown has, I think, officially figured out his role on this team, and it's exactly what he's been doing. It's run the offense when Tatum's not out there. It's be the second guy that is still very important to the team, but stop trying to compete for the first role because it just ain't it. And I mean, I think
he's just now embracing that second guy. I mean, he always embraced it, but he always like, I can only be the number one guy too. But yeah. I mean, that's a good point. But it's been that transition is a little sluggish, you know?
No, and I 100%, man. I mean, he's only on my top 25 since, like, you know, if we're thinking about it, like, because of his performance in the last 3 months. It has. If we did this in January,
3 weeks. Yeah.
If he did this in January, he wouldn't be on the top 25. So I think, you know, that's where I'd love to see the fact that he's realized how to be an effective and still great player on a team that has effective great players, and he's found his role. It's great to see. So number 18, and we'll talk more about Jaylen Brown, I'm sure, when you guys pick him too. But number 18, I got Donovan Mitchell. Weak ahead of Jaylen. I wanted to put Jaylen ahead of him, but I think Donovan Mitchell's still, you know, a better player. Number 17, I have Bam Adebayo, an all-star snub, but he should have been an all-star.
That's right. Wait, wasn't he hurt, or he just didn't make it?
Injured at the wrong time. Missed like 4 weeks.
That's going to suck.
But, and then number 16, I have DeMar DeRozan. And number 16. So we're really getting into a spot where.
Wow. You're just going to disrespect Compton like that? Messed up.
I think I got another playbook from Compton list, but, right?
No, no. Man. Kawhi doesn't work.
Come on.
Neither does Serena Williams.
Number 16. No. I think here he's been a good scorer, a great scorer for that team. But to be honest, man, like he's what DeMar DeRozan has always been. He is.
All right, number 20, I got Bam Adebayo.
That's low, man.
I know. I wanted to have him higher, but I don't know, man. Maybe I'm one of those people who are just like, what have you been doing to me lately? What have you done for me lately? And he's been solid, but there's another big we'll get into in a little bit. Well, I'll get into a little bit. That's a bug. I could have swapped these two, but I just, because of the Phoenix Suns have just been relevant, and even though he's been a little bit banged up, he's still the nucleus of that team. It's Chris Paul. Chris Paul, 19. 18. This is the big man I was talking about, Carl Anthony Towns, man. He's finally putting it together here, and people can say what they want that it's only been in the last few weeks or the last month or so, but he's single-handedly, in my opinion, pushing that team to a potential playoff spot, which I think is relevant, man. And this weekend, it's going to be interesting to see them go against the Celtics. I think that's going to be a great matchup for both teams. But, yeah, Carl Anthony Towns has a lot to do with that. I put him at number 18. Number 17, I've always been a fan of this guy. I know being traded to Sacramento doesn't help most players, but DeMontis Sabonis is still that dude, in my opinion. Double-double machine. The only guy putting up 20 and 12 last season, and he's just been carried. In my opinion, a lot of that's carried over this year. He's going to get better, man. He'll be rising up on this list for years to come. And at number 16, we might scream about this one, but I got Trae Young, number 16, man. Trae Young, 3 months ago, I'd have him a lot higher. But again, what have you done for me lately in Atlanta? I don't know. Atlanta seemed to be going the opposite direction.
All right. Well, I was going to spaz out about you putting Sabonis above all the players you put him above. But then you do Trae Young that low, and that's ridiculous because I think the only reason why they're even in the playoffs is Trae Young's having a great season. And like,
is he having a better year than last year?
Listen to me. You can't say, no, he's not having a better year than last year. But
why?
Listen,
let's go the other way, man. You're like 22. Like, what's going on?
But hold on. Tatum had the same thing happen to him. Everyone was about to anoint.
I had Tatum at like number 15 that year. Whatever. Right.
And listen. Would you trade Jaylen Brown for Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and that garbage trade that they did Sabonis for?
That's different.
No, you see what I mean?
No, but I don't know why everyone thinks that that's just shitty trade. I think it's a good trade for both teams. But
yeah, how does that trade all of a sudden diminish what he is as a player? I hate that. But Sean, you're not the only person to say that. Like, yeah, I just don't get that. Oh, he just got traded to Sacramento. He can't be. He's going the other direction. It's like he can't control his own fate.
Listen. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a tier, right? You wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for that type of package, and obviously. Indiana thought that they were getting good value for that, which is just like, whatever. I think Sacramento won that trade, but I do think that Sabonis is a little bit overrated on your list. That's all I'll say.
All right.
Well, whatever.
Controversy. Whatever. And the controversy begins.
Put him over
I told you top 20 gonna get people mad.
You ain't gonna put him over Bam. Come on, Sway. You put him over Bam. Didn't you just put Sabonis over Bam?
Oh, that you meant Trey. Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That ain't right, man.
I got one of his teammates is higher on my list.
I do.
Spoiler alert, though. I don't have Bam on my list.
Wow, disrespectful.
Yeah.
I just think he
fell off my radar like completely. Even though the Heat are in the number one seed. I get it. But I'm not saying he's not having a good season. He just didn't make my list. I'm sorry.
Sanchez flipping out because he's on our fantasy. That he gets extra points for that.
So you know his stats nightly. That's what it is.
I know his stats nightly, and I know other people's stats nightly, and I know that Bam should be on your top 25 list. Come on. So, even if you think of him at number 25, come on.
All right, then. So then
he's not a 20-point scorer. All right.
Then for the sake of argument, you know, he could be 25A. All right. Is that cool with you, Sean?
Fair. Yeah.
All right. All right. Cool.
When he starts averaging 20, he'll be high on my list. He could beat out.
Well, I don't allow 25A, but if you want to go 22 or 23A, we can start there.
All right. I'll let you know then as I continue the list.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Where we're leaving off at number 20, correct?
Yeah, start with number 20, baby.
All right. I got Dame Lillard at number 20. I know it seems like he hasn't played in forever, and he's probably the biggest drop-off in, you know.
Bam spot. All right.
He's probably the biggest drop-off, for me at least. I think the last time we did this, I think he was definitely in my top 10. Obviously, injuries play a part. And plus, I think even before he got injured, his shooting numbers were down. I think there's, you know, with that whole foul, you can't jump into a defender. That really affected his game, I think. And so at number 19, I got Domantas Sabonis. I don't think he's going to fall off as a player in Sacramento. I think once they get a whole, you know, season under his belt, you'll see that he's the same. He's going to be the same Sabonis, and that team will be better. Number 18, I got Bradley Beal. Okay.
Let me ask you this. Because
here comes a dude question.
This is going to be, I'll be very quick. The Bradley Beal addition to the list and the Dame addition to the list, both of those teams suck, bro. And they barely.
No, because both of those teams are still on the cuff of making it to the play-in. All right.
Okay. So they're the bottom four team in the conference. They suck.
Washington made it last year and they won like 20 some games.
All right. But Washington's not going to make it this year. And Washington started the year off hot and then things fell apart for them.
And Bradley Beal had a lot to do with that.
And same thing with Dame, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. So what is your, I just want to know, like,
The same reason you got Anthony Davis. Another spoiler alert: Anthony Davis didn't make my list. Those two spots were a toss up between those three guys.
Anthony Davis didn't make your list?
No, he didn't make my list.
Hell yeah!
Inconsistently, like injured, like he'd come back for two games and be out for like 3 weeks.
Hell yeah!
That dude's face is so funny, man. I was cracking up when I sent that meeting.
It was great. These two spots, these two players that I named, it was a toss up between them two and Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis didn't make it because he played the worst out of the three, giving the time that they did play, in my opinion.
So I'll,
sorry, AD. Sorry.
I'm gonna.
And I'm an AD guy. I think he's, you know, when he's healthy, he's the top. He's top five, even top three. You know, player in the league.
Well, you gotta think of it this way, bro. Like to be honest, Anthony Davis, when he does play, the Lakers have a chance at winning.
But this year, though, even when he did play, because the Lakers are on every fucking week, in the beginning of the season, he played like shit, in my opinion. Even when he was healthy. Compared to the other two that I just mentioned.
Or
was he on your fantasy and you have more insight than I do?
No. He wasn't on my fantasy. And me and Sway talked about it. We had a chance to draft Anthony Davis. And who we draft?
Bam.
Bam. Yeah. First pick.
Okay. There you go.
Hell yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Oh, I'm muted. My bad. Yeah. Bam. Bam. I said that. My bad. I muted myself. Yeah.
30 seconds later. Bam. Bam. It was Bam.
Actually, that was a great choice.
Yeah.
We had three players we could have drafted. Anthony Davis, Bam, or Paul George. And you know what we picked? Who we picked?
Bam.
Bam.
Sorry, Bay.
I think you know the answer to the question.
Bam.
Are you saying Ban or Bam?
I don't know if you're saying
Bam.
I don't know.
Bam!
Why
I'm sorry,
you
are
that?
You saying, are you saying Bam or are you saying Ban? Bam!
It's the Catalina fucking wine mixer, okay?
Bah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Bah! It's the biggest helicopter leasing event in the Western Hemisphere since 1997.
Bah! Why does he keep doing that?
Alright, so are we going 15 through 10 now?
Hold on. What did I what number?
You had Anthony Davis.
No, I didn't. I left them off. So I said Sabonis, Beal. Okay, number 17. So 18 was Beal. So 17, Chris Paul. That's where I got Chris Paul.
Wow, who are you, bro? I don't even know you anymore, bro.
He would have been. He would have been higher. Had he, injured, and like they're still kind of rolling even without him. So I'm not saying like they don't need him, but you know, it's not like there was a big drop off when he's not playing.
Okay.
Okay. Let me some CP3 though. You know, vegan and all. Good for him.
Hey, I'll put it this way. CP3 is one of the hardest players to rank in the league. He's always has been in the past, like 5 years. He's always been the hardest player to rank
since his last year with the Clippers. I'd say, yeah, till now. Yeah, so, yeah.
Since he left the Clippers, he's been the hardest player to rank.
Yeah,
and even his last year with the Clippers.
Okay, so that's
and even his second to last year with them. Actually, let's go back to the Spurs last year.
You know when they knocked out the Spurs and then they fucking didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals when they lost the 3-0.
Well, everyone's gonna be like, "What year was that?" I don't know.
When he was with the Oklahoma State Pelicans, that was a hard year. What was that team?
The New Orleans Oklahoma City Hornets. I forget.
Hornets, yeah, whatever the fuck they were, yeah.
Shit. Okay, so I got Chris Paul at
What was it? Oklahoma and what was it? Tennessee? Where were they playing?
Memphis, they were playing Oklahoma. Before Oklahoma City got
Oklahoma, New Orleans. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, okay. Because of the hurricane, yeah. All right, so Chris Paul at number 17. Number 16, I got Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, yeah, I think that's fair, man. I think Donovan Mitchell is a great player. He probably should be trying to crack the top 10, but he hasn't produced like Tatum has done. So I'm with you.
Yeah, because at the start of the season, Utah and Phoenix, they were battling for that top spot. And then injuries happened, obviously. But they're still in the top four.
And then they lost Ingles. And then that's the way your team
goes
down.
Yeah, man, that's just shit, man. It's the curse of Ingles. This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. Basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, which is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so back to you, Sean.
Okay, so we're going from 15 now to
10. 11, right? 11, yeah, 11, yeah, my bad.
All right, so number 15 for the Sean Dutra top 25, I got James Harden, number 15. Hey, he's fallen dramatically. He is not a top 10 player in the NBA no more, in my opinion. I feel like his Philly ascension will happen. Will it happen this year? I don't think so. But that's where I got James Harden. Number 14, I got Jimmy Butler. I got Jimmy Butler at number 14. Most will have him higher because you can sort of throw him into MVP discussions. But at the end of the day, he's missed a lot of time. The Heat have been fine without him. And he tried to fight his coach last night. So I ain't going to put him up.
He tried to fight two coaches, if you want to count, Haslam in there as well.
Yeah. If you want to count the old head.
I know for a fact. If there's
the assistant coach that gets paid like a player, yes.
Yeah, he got an OG real quick, right? They're gonna pull out some Timbs. Like,
I'll beat your ass.
Yeah. If they pull his belt out, like, boy, come here.
Boy.
If there's one player in the NBA that goes, I'll beat your ass. Like, if there's one player that would be like, I have nothing to live for. Mm-hmm. Why am I still playing in the NBA? I'm 47. I'll beat your fucking ass, dog.
He's got a lot of days in this league, bro. He's seen a lot.
He's not worried about his next contract. Let's just put it that way. So
he's done seen it all. He's done been through it all, seen it all.
This whole shit's a hobby to him, right? He's chilling.
He's like,
this is another Wednesday night.
He's like, how dare you disturb my peace? What's the matter with you?
Can I tell you something? That like it sort of reminded me of a Key and Peele skit of when Barack Obama would have his anger management guy, and like that was like Spolstra. Yeah. Spolstra was like, "You want me to fight you?" And then Haslam comes in, "I'll beat your ass." I'll beat your ass. Key and Peele skit though. That's the Key and Peele.
Yeah, but
I love how Markieff Morris, as rugged as he is, he's the one playing peacemaker in the middle of that shit. Good thing he's there because he's like, someone's throwing down.
Morris is like, yo, my man, you don't want to get whiplash. All right, I'm still coming back from that shit. Like, this is not good. Like, my back is still stiff.
Morris was all acting like a piece, like just like not involved until. Spolstra threw the clipboard, and he was like, "Oh shit! Let me get Spo's mad.
Back up.
Yo, he's only done that twice this year.
Yo, back up, yo. Don't, my man. Spo never changed his facial expression too. He was just like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Throws the clipboard. Are you kidding me? You trying to fight me, bro?
You want me to fight you? Is that what you want?
Yo, I love how the feed is the crowd, you know, like they don't like no one knows what's going on, just like in between the commercials. Like, I love that. And then the background is that like the NBA League Pass like streaming.
It was like Gloria Stefan in the background.
I know, right?
Can you feel it in the
wind? Like so Miami.
Spo was like
machine blasting in the background.
Yeah, Spo was like, nah, UD, I got this. I got him. It's all good. No, I'll beat your fucking ass. I'll beat your fucking ass, yo. We don't know.
Like,
we don't know.
I'm gonna beat your ass and blow your stuff on. I'll do it. Bro. I'll fucking do it.
I'll fucking do it in Miami.
I'll do it with the Miami Sound Machine playing and all, bro.
That will be your fucking band. Soundtrack if you want it to be.
This song will mean a whole nother thing to you, bro.
Oh, the rhythm is definitely gonna get you when I get you.
You won't ever be able to hear this song the same way you heard it today ever again.
You're gonna hate Gloria Stefan after this.
You're gonna be at a party one day. For your girl's 12th birthday party, and Gloria Stefan's gonna come on, and you're gonna run into a closet and hide after this day.
I'll be jazzed.
I'll be jazzed.
And all right, after all that, you just say it. It just goes pause. I'll be jazzed. I'll be jazzed.
One last time. Pauses for emphasis.
Oh, I don't know if you noticed, but I'll be jazzed. All right.
All right, so where do we leave off? You said you got Jimmy at one number.
Jimmy, I'll beat your ass.
Butler.
Number 14.
Jimmy, don't get your ass beat, Butler.
Jimmy, don't get your ass beat, Butler. All right, number 13, I got Chris Paul, but I got him at 13.
Hey, shout out to the OG, man. Still making this list all these years.
Yo, shout out to all the Suns players on fucking Sean's list.
Nah, man.
Yeah, bro. What'd you have? Freaking Bridges in the top 10?
All right, yo. What did Tunis pay you off? What's going on here?
Number 12. Yeah, right? Number 12. Are you guys ready for
Tunis
this?
Tunis got you on payroll.
You guys ready for this one? Number 12. I got Marcus Smart, baby.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious?
Yo. I was like, come on, bro. Stop.
If anybody outside of Jalen and Tatum, I would have thought you would have said like Robert Williams, like, yo, he's the best center in the East, something foolish would have came out your mouth on that one.
Nah, but I do have a center at number 12. I got Karl Anthony Towns at number 12, and I have Trae Young at number 11. So that's my list. So number 15 Harden, number 14 Jimmy Butler, number 13 Chris Paul, 12 Karl Anthony Towns, and number 11 Trae Young.
All right.
All right, Sway. You're on mute, Sway.
All right. I'm about to say this before I board. Maybe I'll do this on the plane.
Yo, what is wrong with you?
All right, here we go. Number 15, I got Bradley Beal. Everyone's turning around like,
come on!
All right, number 14, I got Jimmy Buckets, bro. Your boy, Jimmy Butler. He's in the doghouse right now, but he's number 14.
That's where I had him.
Who leaves the luggage unattended, bro? No one does that. Such a stupid announcement.
Especially this day and age.
Yeah. No one's going to tamper with my luggage.
People got drunk and then leave their luggage.
It sounds like I did it twice.
Sounds like I did it the last time I traveled.
And then it was right after I got married.
He's like, I left my suit and everything. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
You call me an asshole now? Come on. All right, number 13, I got DeMar DeRozan. Incredible year from DeMar, man. DeMar just came back to the East Coast. It was like, this is it, man. It's my last chance to win a title. He's certainly playing like it. Number 12, I got a player from your favorite team from the West Coast, Sean, Devin Booker. He's not outside of the top 10. We're going to make my top 10.
What is wrong with you?
He's not in my top 10.
They won 58 games this year. How do you have him outside of your top 10?
Yeah, man. Not there.
He's like, what?
Are you serious?
There's 11 players that have better season than him right now.
No, they haven't. Sway. Nah. That's bullshit. That's bullshit, man.
I don't know.
No, you do. You do know it's bullshit. You know.
All right. Anywho. No, I gotta go. Bro.
Looking for passenger Josue Pavin. Josue Pavin. Final call.
I'm doing the list right now. Hold on.
Hey, who's the bro?
Yo, they really did call him. They just called him.
I gotta go.
This is the best moment.
I'm sorry about that.
Podcast history. Yo, say mama.
You guys bored quick. I didn't know if the zone was there already.
That's not funny.
Josue Pavón. Josue Pavón.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Appreciate it.
She's like, you were standing there the whole time. You didn't say anything. Sorry.
Okay, who you got for number? Who do you got for number 12? Sorry,
no, I was standing like 15 feet away from her, bro. I said, "Watch them call my name." We'll sweep home. Yo, did she close the door? I think she closed the door behind me, bro. Am I the last?
Bro, you were the last one on the plane, bro.
Yo, there's people chilling at the gate, though. Like, I thought that they're clearly not waiting for this one.
Everyone's waiting for you.
Everyone starts clapping when I walk on. There he is.
Are you Josue Pavón? Get the fuck on the plane.
All right, I'm going to continue this when I get to my seat. Oh. Right.
You're definitely going to sit next to...
I'm in the last row.
Mustache. You're going to sit next to a guy with a mustache. Ready? A guy with a mustache.
How you doing? Thank you. Got out. Excuse me.
Hey, excuse me.
How's everyone doing there? He was upgrading me.
So he's like, I got Filet Mignon on deck at the first class.
He was like,
what's he doing? I was like, this guy. He's like, no, man, you're over here. He's like, I'm switching everybody else. All right. That's probably why they made that announcement. Bro.
Where are you?
All right. Let's do this. Nah. Wow, where was that at? All
right, you were at...
After Jimmy about to get his ass beat, Butler.
No, actually. Right after Jimmy Butler was...
No, DeRozan.
DeRozan.
You made the list.
Oh, no, you said Booker. Then after that?
Oh, Booker. Yeah. And then Booker, yeah.
And then
number 11, I got your boy. And I thought this was blasphemy to get him out of the top 10, but I guess it's not on this podcast. It's Anthony Davis. I got Davis at 10.
Yeah, man. I mean,
11. Excuse me. 11 at 11.
11, Anthony Davis. Okay.
Yeah, right outside the top 10.
You know, I knew I was being harsh on Anthony Davis. I don't know where Joel you're going to rank him, but
I'm with you though. All your points are valid. I'm on the same boat. I'm just not going to penalize him that much, bro. I'm just taking off the list altogether.
No, I got him off. He's not on my list. Remember, I said, you know.
Oh yeah, he's off.
Oh no, you have him off. But Sean has him at number like 20, right?
Yeah.
For me, it was between like Beal. Who else did I say? I forget.
Oh, you probably said who we all said.
Oh, Beal, Dame Lillard. I'm saying like those players that. I've played 30-some-odd games. Dame, Beal, and AD, I thought the other two were playing better than AD. All right, so it's me?
Yeah, it's you.
All right.
Hey, good picks outside of Devin Booker. So, like, Booker thing, having him on your top 10, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy, dog.
Really? Yeah. Tim would be mad.
No, right. I see where I have him ranked.
All right, I got...
It was tough.
All right, at number 15, I got Karl-Anthony Towns.
Okay, so for me, it's a little bit low because I do feel like Karl-Anthony Towns for us as a group has always been in the 25 to 20 range and barely making the top 25, right? This year, don't you feel like he's made the strides?
Well, that's why he's at 15.
I know, but I'm just
I thought you were knocking me for being okay. I got
no,
you.
No. I think that he's made a stride so much so that he's sort of. Knocking on that top 10. Like, he's knocking on the top 10.
Yeah, because, like, this year, for the first time, most people feel like it's his team now. It's not like, it wasn't like, oh, they needed someone like a Jimmy Butler or they needed someone like, you know what I mean? So now it's...
Well.
And they're succeeding.
Yeah, you think about it. him winning the three-point contest makes him a legitimate. Wait.
Yeah, he won the three-point contest. Yes, he did.
Thought I just said something stupid because it sounds stupid.
Okay, he won that shit, right? All right.
No, what I'm trying to say is, like, he can shoot the three. He scored 60. It's his team. And you know what? That team has no business making it into the play-in tournament, but they are the ones that will give the Lakers, that will knock the Lakers out, I swear. Because
They're outside that shit. They're like six right now. I'm battling for fifth, bro.
Out
west.
legit, Larry. Go, baby. That's what I'm talking about, yeah. You know?
You know, you just get Pat Bev on your team, and then, you know, things don't change, you know?
Pat Bev, you know? Hey, you know? I love
Pat Bev. Hey, you can change the whole franchise with Pat Bev.
Right?
I love Pat Bev, man. And you know what? That whole Russell Westbrook, Pat Bev shit, when Patrick Beverly took his victory lap after the whole Westbrook thing, bro, I was like, yeah, Pat.
Yeah, bro. All right, so at number 14, I got Jaylen Brown right there, smack in the middle, man. Number 14.
See, That's about where I had him when I first thought I was going to do the list, and then he moved down about five spots when I did my list.
Yo,
that's insane.
Since the first game of 2022,
he's a 20-point score.
That was his 50-point performance, and since then he's been shooting 48%, 49%, and it just keeps and just you know what I'm saying, like. Field goal percentage wise, like the last like 2 months, like since that game, the Celtics have turned it around. I'm not saying it's all on him.
Can I tell you the turnaround point for me? Do you remember? You guys remember this in the early years when I was anti Jaylen Brown, like anti.
Yeah, yeah. As early as a few months ago. Yeah.
No, I mean like as early as when we started the podcast, drafted Jaylen Brown, and I was remember the play that made me think like maybe he can play in this league.
Oh, with the butt.
The rebound,
yeah, yeah.
Button, got the rebound, yeah. As much as that meant everything to me as a Jaylen Brown, like, person, like, the three-pointer that he hit to put away the Nets that we saw in person, Joel.
Of course, yes, yes.
That, to me, said, okay, Jaylen. Okay, Jaylen.
So, you finally can admit, with no doubts, that you are a Jaylen Brown fan.
That's right.
If he keeps playing like he's playing, yeah. No,
there's no ifs.
But no, this is huge because you're no longer shackled to the idea that he's overrated.
I've never been shackled to anything.
Right? See, that's actually the word I was looking for, so I thank you, bro. You took the shackles off your hate for Jaylen Brown, correct?
I would more likely say that I've...
You've broken free. And you can finally say with 100% no doubts, I love Jaylen Brown.
I've ripped open my cotton T-shirt.
And you have a number Jaylen seven. And you have a number seven jersey that's not D Brown. Hey, it's Jaylen Brown. That's what I got at number 14. Jaylen Brown. At number 13, I got Jimmy wants to get his ass beat. Butler.
Okay.
At number.
I hope what he did the other night didn't. Bump him down for anyone's list, man. Yeah, I think he's also been on.
Nah, for me, the last few times he's done his list, Jimmy's been there at 13.
Yeah, and you know what? He probably made his way up, but then he just got injured. He always gets injured.
Yeah, that's true. At number 12, I got DeMar DeRozan. He's having one hell of a, you know, renaissance year. If you want to talk about renaissance year, guys, DeMar DeRozan. And just think, the Lakers could have signed him for cheap. And they decided not to.
You even know what a renaissance is?
They really messed that up, bro. They messed that up.
They're gonna sign him and Kyle Lowry for like, you know, two veteran minimum deals. They would have took that shit just to go play in L.A.
They could have Buddy Hield.
Yeah, if they wanted to make like a trade. But if they wanted to just sign two free agents that were willing to take a huge pay cuts, they were willing to go to the Lakers, and they fucked up on that. Like, no, we're gonna get Russell Westbrook, who doesn't fit in our system at all.
DeMar DeRozan has always been linked to the Lakers.
I know. It's the reason why the San Antonio didn't even give him an offer. They're just like, yeah, man, go play in L.A. Go, you know.
Since you
have our blessings. So at number 11, I have Trae Young.
Well, where I had him.
So why are you guys flipping out as if you guys had him like number six or something?
No, I wasn't flipping out. He was flipping out. He flipped out on you for the Booker. He flipped out on you for the Booker thing, and he flipped out on you for the Trae Young.
The Devin Booker thing is way worse than the Trae Young thing.
I don't know, man. I just feel like the Suns are obviously they're led by him and Chris Paul, but it's a well-balanced attack over there. I don't know. A lot of players haven't been a season there.
I don't know if you know, but you don't know.
I don't know if you know, but you don't know. So yeah, we're gonna put a pin on. Jose Pavone, can you please turn off your phone? We can't take off until you do.
Can you please go to the?
That's definitely not your seats.
An hour and 30 minutes.
Why do you think you can just sit in comfort plus for no reason?
I was told I could sit here.
We gave you that option.
Who told you could sit there? He did. I didn't say anything, sir.
Welcome to everybody except Jose Pavone, who's sitting in comfort plus, and no one.
There's no difference, Ideella. All right, Joe. I'm out of here. Right. We'll do the top 10. We'll do top 10 next week.
All right, bro. Have a safe flight. So yeah, we're gonna put a pin on it right there when it comes to our list. Stay tuned for our next episode when we talk about our top 10. That's where the good stuff happens when we're talking about these players and our discussions and our back and forth.
Oh yeah,
that's where my creative juices were flowing. Yeah. This year.
And we're gonna wrap up this episode while Sway travels the friendly skies. Just being obviously a Celtics podcast, we're going to look ahead because the Celtics are on a 5-game winning streak. They've only lost once this month. All right, so then it's about that time. We're gonna look ahead. You know, we got to squeeze in some sort of Celtics talk in here. And looking ahead is probably the best way to do that right now as the Celtics keep rolling.
Hey, I'll put it this way. We're going to look ahead, drop it. And then I've been right. For a very, 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 very long time. I'll just put it that way. When it's talking about calling these Celtics wins, you can call me Nostradamus, kid.
Nostradutra.
Who's believed this team would win? Who's believed in this team all year, kid? Right here. For all every day, kid.
All of 2022? Yeah, I'll give you that.
So I've been trying to tell you. I told you. Celtics 4-0, baby. But anyways, Celtics in this edition of where we look into. We're looking ahead. You do have a very tough team coming into Boston that is playing very well. And it is the Minnesota Timberwolves with Karl Anthony Towns and Patrick Beverley. Finding his new role, you know? I think when we saw Patrick Beverley going to the Timberwolves, didn't we all think, like, yeah, he's going to get traded from there. He's not going to find a spot there, right? We all thought that.
Yeah, I mean, because it was, I think he got, like, traded, like, twice in, like, in a couple days before, like, in the offseason. And we were just like, wow, like, you know, it's like, maybe it's the end of the line for, you know, Pat Bev. And then we were like, who was talking about Minnesota, honestly, as, like, you know, being a play-in possibility, never mind, like, right now they're six battling the fifth spot out west in the wild, wild west.
I mean, it's been a wild ride. But
especially everything that, you know, Karl Anthony Towns has been through. And it's like, wow, it's like, you said, it's been a wild ride.
But when you talk about the hottest teams in the league, I think you talk about the Celtics. I think you talk about the Suns. I think you talk about the Timberwolves.
I mean, this is the battle of the players of the weeks right here between, you know, Cat and Tatum. So it's gonna be it's gonna be a good one, I think. I think the last few times that these two teams have played, they've been good games, and yep. I believe the Celtics are looking to avenge a very interesting loss early in the season out in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
If I'm not mistaken,
it was a shorthanded Timberwolves team, right? Too, if I'm not mistaken,
it was a shorthanded Timberwolves team. Pat Bev didn't play. I don't even think was Cat playing.
I don't think Cat played either. I think it was like they're like D League team.
Yeah, I don't even think anything there was playing, but we still lost the game, which tells you where the Celtics came from to where they are today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is a game which we need to really focus on, and it's a Sunday game, which historically these Celtics haven't been very great at, but recently they've been great at. So I don't know. I think that'll be a really good game, and I think when we're talking about like the, I'll give the three games that we're going to go through. This is probably the hardest three game stretch. Well, four game stretch, if you include the Jazz, who they just dismantled. This is the hardest four game stretch they've had in a very long time. So they had the Jazz, they dismantled them, they play against Timberwolves. Then you got the Raptors. I'm pretty sure they're in the clear of Brooklyn catching them, but they still may sniff a little bit of the Cleveland butthole. Like, can they smell the farts of Cleveland?
Probably.
They're only a game back of Cleveland to get out of that play-in tournament. You know what I mean? Like, they are smelling the farts. They are smelling those Cleveland steamers right now. They're smelling them. So I think that that'll be a tough game. And then, of course, the Miami Heat come to Boston on Wednesday, and that's the number one team in the East. And I am hoping that that game is going to be the game that the Celtics will jump the Heat in the standings. They're only a game and a half back today. There's three games before, there's two games before they play them. And the Heat just had a fight between their coach and their best player and their oldest player. So what's going to happen? What do you got?
Take that for data.
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's do it live.
I mean, you're saying it's the Celtics' toughest kind of stretch right here, and you know, as of late, but they're rolling right now, bro. Like on defense, it's leading to, as cliche as it sounds, leading to great offense. There was rumblings that Ime might rest players here and there, but I think they're going for that top spot, and I think, you know, they don't want to mess with the momentum right now or the chemistry, just because they might prefer one opponent over another. I think they can hang with anybody right now. So I think they're going for it. So
who was the first person in your life this year that said the Celtics should shoot for the top spot in the Eastern Conference?
I don't know.
It was me, bro.
You said this?
I said this like four podcasts ago.
Yeah.
Which, if you think this was 4 weeks ago, it's not 4 weeks ago. It was like four Sean podcasts ago. So it's probably like 6 or 7 weeks ago. But I said at that point, I go, yo, the Celtics need a good shoot for the top spot. That's where they're going to go.
Okay. All right. I think that might have been right when they started to turn things around, but we didn't predict it was going to be this type of turnaround, right? We're talking about like almost 20 games over 500 now, right?
It was like this.
Like I think I remember correctly. It was like between like me and Sway, we were saying that they could grab the top, one of the top four seeds, right? And at least have a home court advantage in the first round. I mean, even before the season started, I know I was like that this team at the time as constructed, I was like, you know, I think they could grab, you know, one of those four spots. And I think four was probably their ceiling at that point, right? But I mean, like, again, like the way they're playing, the way they, you know, some of these teams are kind of, you know, falling apart a little bit, like the Celtics, they're literally going the opposite direction of where they were like 2.5, almost 3 months ago.
Isn't it absolutely wild? Like,
it's crazy, bro.
I think, like, as we've been where the Celtics are right now, which somehow they're still fourth, but they're
I know, but it's like you know, there's like a game to like, you know, two games separate, like, you know, the first through like the fifth seed, I think, without me looking at the standings right now. So
you're right, it's 2.5 games.
Yeah,
separate the first five seeds in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. And if I told you,
things are getting like, you know, it's going to be a tight race down the stretch here. So I think you don't want to, you know, I don't think you're trying to take any opponent lightly. Number one, number two. The whole notion that some analysts or some, you know, Celtics fans are like, oh, they should shoot for, you know, this, or they should, you know, avoid, you know, Team X. No, let's just let them, whatever the chips fall, just let them, you know, fall, and the Celtics will, and they'll figure it out the way they've been playing.
So let me tell it to you this way.
Like, I don't care who they play, to be honest, because I think they can beat them.
I'm gonna put it this way. This is the best basketball that a Celtics team has played consistently since 2009. Do you remember that 2009 season, the way we started the season?
Yeah.
What did we go, 27-3?
To start the season? Yeah, I think so. I didn't think, yeah, something like that.
And Garnett got hurt?
Maybe like 30-3, something like that, dude. Yeah. They start off even better than they did in the championship year, yes.
But I'm just saying, right now, we since the new year, they're 27-7.
Yeah.
And even if you cut it better than that, they've won this. I mean, to be honest, this is the best Celtics basketball that I've ever watched.
And it starts with their defense. They're smothering teams. Like,
Joel, we gotta start talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, the best Celtics basketball we've ever watched. Best stretch of Celtics basketball that me and you have ever watched.
Yeah, I mean it's up there. If you look back on some of the teams, at least since the 2007-08 season, like over, you know, what are we talking about? Like, you know, 13 years or no, so, since, 14 years or so, like
since we've been Celtics fans since the start of the '90s, right? This is the best basketball stretch. There's only one other stretch that you can tell me that you can argue with me, and that's the start of the 2009 season that this team has ever played.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting argument, bro. Like, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you, especially the way they started. You know what I mean? Like,
but when we started that season, man, we were talking about
70 plus wins.
Yeah, we were talking about, can we beat the Bulls record?
Yeah, you're talking about 08-09. Yeah, yeah. And then, and even with Garnett down the last, like, you know, month or 2 months before the playoffs, they won 62 games.
This is the best stretch of basketball that the Celtics have played since Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Rajon Rondo were in their prime coming off the championship season. When we thought that was how as good as they could get, and they played better that start of that season. They played better. Out of that season,
yeah, up until the All-Star break. Yep, you're right. But even then, like I said, they only had four less wins than the previous year, and there was no KG.
Yep,
the last like 2 months, 3 months. Yeah, yeah.
Historic Celtics runs. Like, this is there. We're there. We're playing. And you know what it is, bro. Like, remember how we were looking at like what's the bench gonna do, and now you got Grant Williams coming in and playing.
I'm paying Pritchard, bro. I remember bringing up Peyton Pritchard in one of our episodes not too long ago about, like, you know, when we were talking about, you know, the possibility that Schroeder, you know, might get traded. And it's like, well, you know, Peyton can just fill in for that. And I remember you saying, yo, Peyton is fucking, no, that's not going to happen. Like, you know, that's far from any truth here.
All right.
Like, but since the trade, since Schroeder's been gone and since, Richardson's been gone and these minutes are coming in for Pritchard, like
Eddie House, who could play defense.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Like, he's hitting his shots. He's, you know, playing this hard nosed defense. Did you see how he played against the Jazz? Huh. Like, he had Jordan Clarkson fucking locked up. Yo,
the Jazz, that game made me just like love Peyton Pritchard. Like, the way he was defending, like, he can defend. He got up in his face. He said, "Jordan, that possession," and I think you've seen it. It's been played over and over again. But the possession, he just bodied Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah,
and
Jordan just gave the ball away. Just like, all right, I'm done with this dude.
Oh, you win, bro. I'm out. I can't play.
Like, all right, you win. Jordan,
that's six man of the year, Jordan Clarkson, on a team that's trying to play for playoff positions. Peyton Pritchard locked him up. Like, and then, hey, all I'm saying is this, and you tell me, I am not picking the Celtics as an underdog against any team in the Eastern Conference right now. Any team in the Eastern Conference, they should beat in a 7-game series. I put it that way.
I strongly believe that as well. Based on everything we've seen from preseason to now, has got me convinced that not only has Ime stuck with his guns, no matter how, you know, much criticism he got, and
I bet the biggest critic of Ime,
and like you know, what is he doing with his substitutions? Why is he only going 8 man, you know, deep? we thought the Celtics team was going to have, you know, all the moves in the offseason. Why isn't he, like, you know, not going, you know, using some of the young guys more? But it's like, look, we saw there was a few games this season where, you know, Schroeder won you a game here and there. Josh Richardson won you a game here and there. But again, since the trade deadline, to essentially, you know, lock up your rotation for the rest of the season and have them consistently do what they've been doing on both ends of the floor, that's what's been impressive to me. Stevens was like, if I was, you know, in charge sooner, things would have been a lot different. And again, like, Ime has stuck to his guns and is like, no, they're gonna buy into what I'm selling.
And you know what? For a guy that wasn't the biggest Ime fan, I was only not a big Ime fan because of no one was buying into what he was trying to sell. And then apparently they all bought in. And I think that, you know me. Brad Stevens is my guy, and
we've all been down this road. Like,
right,
none of us, Sway included, ever said fire Brad. This is
right.
You know, Brad has lost his locker room. I never truly believed that.
But I'll put it this way. But I'll position it this way: is if Brad Stevens is still the coach of this team, are they doing this?
Well, I don't know, because who's the GM? Is it Danny or somebody else?
It's Danny. Let's just say it's Danny.
If it's Danny, I don't know, because then I don't know if he pulls off the moves that Stevens did. For all we know, like, Ainge could have been the one like whispering in like Stevens' ear, like, yo, I do this and I do that, and or him or Brad Stevens going to Ainge, like, I think I'm thinking about doing this move here, you know, Kemba for, you know, Al Horford, you know, and it's like, for all we know, he could have been whispering in his ear, like, Danny, what do you think I should do here? Before he took the Utah job, you know what I mean?
I think that Brad Stevens, when Ime came in, Brad was like, I'm not going to get involved. Ime, you do your thing.
Yeah.
And eventually they collaborated. And they collaborated and were like, you know, Ime, this isn't working out what you're trying to do and trying to go all the way to this side of the fence. This is what I was doing that was working. If you could pick up a couple things there and then put your spin on it and relate with them a little bit better. And I think it's a collaboration, man.
So just peep this, right? We were just talking about the last time Minnesota played the Celtics, right? It was obviously in Minnesota. Check. They lost by 5 points, okay?
That was the one first loss of the season.
Yeah. We could talk about a few, but this one right here was one that was up there, because they had nobody. There was no Beverly. Do you know who shitted on the Celtics that night from Minnesota?
I sort of remember.
Jalen Noel scored. He averages 8 points a game, and he scored 29 that night off the bench. Okay. Greg Monroe was just signed hours before that game. And he went off for 11 points and had 9 rebounds and 6 assists. He had a damn near triple-double, while you had – who else? You had 1, 2, 3. You had 4 players scoring double figures against the Celtics. Okay? Yep. Do you want to know who came off the bench that night? I'll tell you, for the Celtics. Jabari Parker, Hernan Gomez, who we just saw against Utah, and Sam Hauser, and Grant Williams – he led the bench with 15 points, while the other three I just mentioned, they each scored 3 points apiece. That was your bench. Look at the Celtics bench now.
Right.
Look at the difference.
Right.
A few months later.
Let's add in the best 4 players on the Timberwolves. Is Anthony Edwards playing right now, or is he hurt?
That's a good question.
I think he's hurt still.
Yeah, because he didn't play that night either. And Tatum didn't play that night.
No, they didn't play tonight. Yeah, but you know what?
But Brown and Pritchard. Brown had 26 and Pritchard had 24. Those were your leading scorers that night for the Celtics. And Al had a near triple double as well. It's with 16, 9, and 6. But
wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. Like, you had, like, you know, they were missing like three of their top scorers, the Timberwolves, and they gave it to you. They scored 34. They outscored you 34-10 in that fourth quarter. So that was the time of the year where, like, they would have these leads
I remember watching that damn game.
Yeah, they would have these leads, and then they thought they're like, all right, we got this game in the bag, and they get shitted on in the fourth quarter, and we would talk about the next episodes like, yo, what the hell happened? Like, how did an opponent go on a 20-5 run in the last like 5 minutes of the game? That was the issue. They just would stop playing and thought they had the game won. So like that's just one example of how this team has completely turned around. Not just the fact that they're playing better on both ends of the floor, but like just the personnel here. I just mentioned you know the bench from that game, and look at the bench now. When you got quality scorers, like reliable scorers now, you couldn't even say this a year ago about Grant Williams and Payne Pritchard and even Derek White, who's not shooting that well, but he still was going to find you a bucket. Just those three guys alone off the bench, they've been huge for the Celtics during this turnaround.
Yeah, man, it's big, it's huge.
As much as I love Josh Richardson, I mean, I never thought in a million years that this complete we're talking about now, because again, they're almost 20 games over 500. Like that's been a complete 180 from when you went to see the Suns game on New Year's Eve with Tim, that blowout win. It pretty much started from there. Like they were around 500 there, and they've just been on a tear ever since.
I agree with you, my man. I agree, and you know what?
So I think they're gonna go 3-0.
3-0.
To bring it back to your question, 3-0.
bring it back to where we were. Let's go. I mean, 3-0, and you know what? I'm not even gonna say 3-0. I'm gonna say 4-0 in this stretch, just because.
you count the Utah game.
I will count the Utah game because we didn't get to talk about it, but. And the fact that they're gonna win.
I mean, peep the fact that they're playing Miami for the first time since this turnaround, right? And they already played them early in the season at full strength and shorthanded, and they couldn't score any more than 75 points in both games. Yep.
They beat them when they were real.
Yeah.
And they beat them when they were fake Miami.
Yeah.
And now they're post fight Miami, so
and it's the first time again since this complete turnaround. So like, I want to hear the naysayers say, "Well, you know, they were always playing these teams shorthanded." Well, fight post fight and all. Let's see how they measure up. You got Toronto; that's always a pain in the ass in the Celtics.
For the Celtics, anyway.
So that's a good matchup regardless. And then again, Minnesota, they've been balling too. They're probably the hottest team in the West. So they have it, folks. You know, say what you want. But the Celtics are the real deal. Okay. I don't think we've ever said this on this podcast, or at least I've never said it on the podcast. You know, there's moments where it's like, you know, you make a prediction and then for whatever reason, it either hits or it doesn't. But like for me, especially, I'm not speaking for anybody else, like the Celtics are the real deal. Like, watch out. Let's put a bow on it and let's wrap up this episode the way we do. And every episode when we take our trip around the NBA with In Case You Missed It. In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
So this piece of news that I'm gonna talk about right now, I have an issue with, right? It's not because of, you know, the obvious here, but the state of New York, they're gonna essentially lift their vaccine mandate, right? They're gonna allow, you know, the exemption for athletes and entertainers in the workplace who are unvaccinated to participate, essentially, right? So this goes for Kyrie Irving, obviously, in the Brooklyn Nets, and also goes to players who are unvaccinated for the Yankees and the Mets. They're eligible to play at home, right? And my issue with this is because it has to do with baseball. If they were still locked out, this wouldn't be talked about. Because it wasn't that long ago when the mayor of New York was like, I'm not going to change the mandate for one player. But when it comes to baseball season, that's a whole different game, right? Because there's probably multiple players who are unvaccinated for both teams, the Yankees and the Mets.
Well, I don't know necessarily if it has to do with...
Baseball takes a precedent in this country over basketball. That's what I'm going with.
No, I don't think that's I honestly, Joel, I don't think that's true. But maybe for his generation, the mayor's generation, I don't know how old he is, but probably for his generation, yeah, it does.
You know, like how many players would be out? At least in the NBA, there's like, you know, 90%. You know, I'm spitballing here. It's about 90% of players in the league are vaccinated, right? And like 70% are like, you know, boosted as well. But in baseball, we don't know that. We don't know that number. That hasn't really been talked about.
I think about it happening a little bit differently because, you know, New York is a big baseball town, but also.
Like, even if the Knicks were good this year, like they were last year, I still think this would be an issue for if any Knicks players. Well, I don't think there wasn't any Knicks players this year anyway, but that they weren't vaccinated. But if Julius Randle wasn't vaccinated.
Nope. There would have been things that went into place because he's the Knicks.
But I don't know, dude. I don't think so because I just think because, you know, if the Knicks had the like the championship pedigree, like, you know, reputation like the Yankees do, maybe.
Okay. Wait. I'm gonna give you a little bit of a lesson here, Joel. Where do the Mets play?
They're playing Queens, don't they?
Queens. Yeah. Where do the Knicks play?
Manhattan.
Yep. Where do the Yankees play?
The Bronx. Boogie Down Bronx. BX.
Yep. Where do the Nets play?
They play in Brooklyn.
Who gives a shit about Brooklyn when it comes to anything that has to do with New York? I think that the mayor looks at Brooklyn like, you guys haven't listened to anything that we've done for a very long time. And it's just...
But how do you lift the mandate after a couple of weeks? Not even like less than probably like 10 days ago when you're like, yo, I'm not doing this for just one single player. Like, you know, this.
But my man.
But then back then, baseball wasn't, they still didn't know if baseball was going to even happen. Now baseball's going to happen. And it's like, oh shit.
Now, I mean, I'm not trying to defend Kyrie right now, but if it was the Queens Manhattan, if it was the Manhattan Nets, he would already have had a spot on the team like that. He's looking at the three biggest boroughs and being like, okay, how do I make this happen? Hey, listen, the other borough is Harlem. If Harlem had a basketball team, you think he's doing anything? If Brooklyn has a basketball team, you think he's doing anything for that stuff? No, he's not. Those are the two like boroughs of New York that just get a little bit forgotten about when it comes to bureaucracy and. That's the way I look at it.
I just think we don't know the numbers in terms of who's vaccinated and who's not. And
please, Randall, if the New York Knicks had their best player that couldn't play in New York, you really think that they're not going to let Julius Randle play in Madison Square Garden? You really think that?
Yeah, because it's the NBA versus the MLB. MLB, we don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but we don't know the percentage of players who are vaccinated not vaccinated.
Outside. They're outside, too.
Okay. So even more so a reason for the state of New York to be like, oh, let's just lift this shit anyways, you know. Because the headline is New York is, you know, making it eligible for
New York
for athletes and entertainers. The headline, it wasn't Kyrie is eligible to play now because, no, the headline was.
I know. That's what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is this. If Kyrie was for the Knicks, right, versus for Brooklyn, I think that there would have been more of an uprising for the mayor to lift whatever thing he had a lot earlier.
Like the fact that he had to make a statement about one player.
Right.
Saying that, like, I'm not doing that for one player. But then, MLB is about to kick off. How many players are? Oh, a lot of players. Oh, shit. That can make it. That can, you know, make or break a season for either squad, right? Especially the Yankees. I think it's time to lift this mandate.
Also, the Nets arena holds what 18,000, and Madison Square Garden holds 25K, and both of those stadiums hold close to 60. Yeah.
So
they want their best players there.
Exactly. So. That's what I'm getting. I feel like,
but also, Joel, we just watched a whole year of football happen,
Yeah, and how many teams were affected when players were down with COVID? Patriots included.
How many times did they go to New York and they weren't able to play? I never heard that. I never heard it. Did they have MetLife Stadium? Was MetLife Stadium non-COVID or what?
That's a good question. I'm not sure because they're in New Jersey. That stadium was in New Jersey, so I think it was just a New York thing. It was just a state of New York. Yeah, when you came to facing any New York team, you weren't playing in New York. You were playing in New Jersey. So I think that's two separate things. You know, Giants or the Jets, you were playing in New Jersey.
Yeah, you're right. It is in New Jersey, which is somehow like if Brooklyn was still in New Jersey, then Kyrie wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got the NBA and the NBPA, you know, putting out a statement saying like essentially, all right, so just listen to this. You tell me what this means to you, right? You know, the NBA and the Player Association, they've achieved a 97% vaccination and a 75% booster rate among players, required both for league staff, team staff, and referees, and will continue to be strong advocates for vaccination and boosters. With today's announcement, we support the mayor's determination that the old rules treating hometown and visiting players differently no longer made sense, particularly because unvaccinated NBA players will continue to be tested daily. We applaud the mayor for listening to concerns of our New York teams, players, fans, and communities, and for leveling the playing field for home teams and their opponents. I don't know. I feel like this statement is false because it's like, was the NBA really fighting for that? For one player when it came to Kyrie, because New York, the Knicks are not even, you know, fighting for a playing spot.
Yeah, it basically means that, like, you know what I think it is? It's like, it's basically like, I really wish that Kyrie wouldn't be affected by this, but like, they have to lift it for private sectors because a lot of businesses in the New York area are trying to open up their offices, and they need people to get open up the offices because the whole thing of like the financial district and Wall Street and everything in New York is like, you have people that are out there working in the offices and walking around and getting.
Yeah, and essentially it looks like Kyrie is like, you know, a hero to those who are anti-vax, which he isn't, by the way. Like, I won't stop, you know, pointing this out. He's never said that he's anti-vax. He was, you know, the voice for the voiceless that, you know, had been fired or who didn't want to get vaccinated. But he's not anti-vax. He's the voice for those that are anti-vax and lost their jobs. While the Nets, you know, are sitting there like, yeah, we don't want him to be a part-time player. And then in January, like, oh, actually, I think we're about to lose James Harden. So, yeah, we want you to come back. Like, come on, man. That bothers me for a lot of reasons, but mainly because of the whole baseball thing, in my opinion.
Hey, I love baseball, and I would much rather watch a baseball game than a Nets game. So.
Yeah. So, in case you missed it, Portland Blazers center.
Oh, Joel's boy.
Yusuf Nurkic, my homie. He didn't make my list this year, but. You know.
Top 25, Joel. He's always in your top 25. God.
He didn't make my list this year. But my man is being fined by the NBA. $40,000 for confronting a fan courtside.
How much? $40,000, my dude.
For confronting a fan courtside and grabbing the fan's cell phone and throwing it into the stands. Okay? If you haven't seen this video, I've never seen some shit like that.
No, like, I've never seen anything like that. And you know what? You know what? I thought of it. I've overwatched this video.
Yeah, clearly.
Like, I've overthought about it. And like the fact, I sort of give the fan a lot of credit. Because obviously he was wasted, right? But like, he never backed down from a guy that was 2 feet taller than him looking down at him.
All right.
He never backed down.
Okay. Let's see if you feel the same way when I tell you this, the second part of this story.
No, I know the second part.
You know the second part? Okay. So according to Yahoo Sports, right? The fan that got his phone tossed into the stands by Nurkic allegedly shouted, "Your mom is trash," and he also said his grandma's a bitch, according to league sources. Nurkic's grandmother passed away of COVID back in late 2020. So
I know.
I don't know if the kid knew that, but obviously it struck a nerve, and I don't blame him for doing what he did. Is it worth being fined $40K? I don't think so, bro. Especially if this is being reported, then I don't know if the league even considered that when they gave him the fine.
I mean, I'm a big heckler. Would I ever go after their mama? No. Would I ever go after their grandmama? No.
I think that goes without saying, right? You know, like no family, but, no kids, you know.
I mean, like even if the guy was like, I just don't know how that had equates to basketball. If you want to tell him like, hey, you're soft as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, then you can say what's up, but you can't go after moms, and you definitely can't go after grandmas, because you don't know what the fuck's going on, man. Nah, you know, man,
you can't. That's not okay. So I think it was warranted what he did. I don't think it's warranted the NBA fined him $40K for it. He should fight that. I don't know if he's going to fight that, but I think he should fight that.
No, to be honest though, what Nurkic did, he can't do. Like he can't.
No, I get it. You can't. But like he didn't say a word to him, bro. He just took the phone and tossed it. But
should get up in the guy's face, and he should stare him down and be like, "You are nothing. Like, don't even question." Like he can say so many things. Like, you don't need to take the phone and toss it, man. Like, that was like him being like, I want to knock you out.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the equivalent of, like, I can't knock you the F out right here, but I can take your phone and toss it. He didn't break it.
I know, but
there's no report that it got broken. Just kind of heaved it. It was like, all right, go fetch that type of shit.
Yeah, to be honest, though, like, you can't. The thing that sucks is, like, he's now in the wrong because he tossed his phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's warranted if it's true what the fan said.
Well, if it's true what the fan said, and I don't, Indiana, you know,
I'm not saying he shouldn't get fined. I'm not saying that at all. I just think 40 is a little bit excessive if what the fan said is true.
See, you know what pisses me off is that we in Boston shit on Kyrie and we say fuck you, Kyrie, and all that shit, and like it's because what he did was fucked up. And like we're just telling Kyrie, no, like you suck, like your mom's disappointed in you, like that's what he's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
You know what I mean? We're never gonna say your mom sucks, yeah, but like yeah. You suck. Yeah. It's just like you can't go after him. You can't do that shit, bro. That's the thing.
Yeah,
the thing that's the thing that people need to worry about.
That's an unwritten rule. So let's see what happens with that. I don't think it's gonna go away. That's just me. We shall see. All right. In case you missed it. The Charlotte Hornets have officially signed Isaiah Thomas for the rest of the season after two back-to-back 10-day contracts.
He was number 26. Isaiah.
There you go, man. I thought it was going to be like 25B for you.
Could have been, but I got yelled at for 25 Bs.
Yeah, when they announced the signing, at the time, the Hornets were 7-2. So, I mean, good for him because he's playing like 10 minutes a game. 10 or 11 minutes a game. He's scoring like 11 points. I think he's got the young dudes, you know, rolling a little bit. So
I think for a fact, if Peyton Pritchard didn't move into the role that he has moved into, we'd be questioning the fact that he didn't sign Isaiah Thomas.
You think so? I don't know.
No question why we didn't sign him, just for the locker room presence alone and how much that press conference he had where he was like, I love Boston. I tried to get back to Boston.
Yeah, but like his whole thing was like, you know, I wasn't even looking for like a role other than just being, you know, Boston. A locker room presence.
He just wanted to be on the Celtics, man, again. Yeah, which
I get it. I understand. But
you got guys that want to be on the Celtics. Just fucking sign him.
I know. But like Ime said, bro, this, you know, point guard was never a concern for this roster.
But it's been a concern all year.
You just want him back for nostalgic reasons. A lot of Celtics fans do.
We haven't had a legitimate point guard all year. When I heard that thing, I go, what are you talking about?
Really? So Marcus Smart is not a legitimate point guard? Come on, man.
A backup point guard? Who? Peyton Pritchard's been our backup point guard all year.
Derek White?
Not a point guard.
He's legit. He can play role if you want him to.
I love Derek White. Don't get me wrong. I love Derek White. I think Derek White has been a net positive, but there we go.
All right. And last but not least, in case you missed it, Ray Allen, who was in Boston for Kevin Garnett's retirement ceremony, has been fined by a Miami judge because he skipped out on jury duty. Because when the trial started originally, it was scheduled for the day after the ceremony. So Ray requested that the trial continue on the following day. So on the 14th, because the ceremony was on the 13th, and he didn't show up.
Yeah.
So the judge was like, that's not cool. Just civic duty. So you're going to get fined $1,000 and it's going to be donated to a charity of your choice. And on a separate note related to this story, Glenn Big Baby Davis is in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Because the day that Sean and I assisted the Celtics game against the Nets, where Big Baby was in attendance, and I got caught, I guess, in somebody's seats at one point. He was not supposed to be there because that was against his probation. And you know why he's on probation, right?
Oh, really?
If we remember not too long ago, several ex-Celtics players were involved in a insurance fraud with the NBA. And he was in New York on probation, and he was not supposed to be outside of New York. And he was caught on TV, obviously. So, but then a week later, he was back in Boston. So I don't know how that's going to end up for him. But just thought I'd throw that in there because it's all related. But it is what it is. You got to go see KG. You got to go chill with KG. I get it. I understand that.
All I know is probation is a real thing that no one should ever break, you know?
Especially if it means, like, you know, when it comes to, like, the state of New York, like, yeah, don't mess with that.
And then he was there for the he was at center court for the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was granted permission to do, like, his comedy show, which he has a lot of he's doing a lot of those dates here in Massachusetts coming up. And I think he had permission to go to the KG ceremony, but not to go to the game before that, which I guess he probably thought that the KG celebration was that day. Versus the actual day a week later. It's like someone else I know. Went over his head.
Hey, fuck Kyrie.
Still a great game, though. That was a great game, bro. Like, yo, that was an ill week for me, personally. I mean, I went to three games in 1 week leading up to my day of birth. And the KG ceremony was just the icing on the cake. So, I mean, it was dope hanging out with you, hanging out with Evan, and obviously hanging out with Sway and Papa Pavone. So, you know, I can't thank y'all enough for that. So, yeah, before I get emotional here, let's say peace out to the people. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. You can subscribe to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/causeway. Catch up on all season one of both our podcasts on there, which is the after show and the one-on-one with Sway. Plus, we're also giving away another jersey. So once you sign up, you're automatically entered in the contest that's coming up real soon. So don't forget, subscribe to Causeway After Hours. And as always, Black Lives Matter. Stop Asian hate. Let's pray for peace in the Middle East. And let's pray for the people of Ukraine. Doesn't seem like there's any end in sight right now, so let's pray and let's stand for the people of Ukraine. All right. And until next time, we out. Later.